Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
It is week 4 in our Moses month, where we're looking at the story of Moses. Just in 5 weeks, we really can't dive too deeply into his story, but at least for a little bit, we can get into some of his story. Our first week, 3 weeks ago, Rod taught on Moses' birth and the whole story when he was thrown into the Nile and all of that. The second week, Rod also taught about his time in the desert where he became a shepherd and he met his wife, Zipporah. And then last week, I taught on the call to be the tool to set people free. Well, today, we're going to pick up a story a little later, right on the cusp of where the Israelites are headed into the promised land. But before I get to the text of today, I just got to set it up a little bit. Moses, as we looked last week, was God's agent to bring freedom for the Israelites who were in oppression and bondage and slavery. He stood up with God's power and faced Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and miraculous things happened, and the people were set free from their bondage. But as is the case, people sometimes grumble. Do you ever know any grumbly type people? No. Do you ever see a grumbler in the mirror when you look in that mirror? So these people were just set free from all these things that were oppressing them, and they began to complain, and God said, all right, well, I have freedom for you, but you're not ready for the freedom I have for you, so we got to go through a process. Now, somebody say bummer, because your freedom and my freedom often takes process. And that's a bummer, because wouldn't you like just to wake up one morning and say, boom, I'm free from all of the stupid things in my life. Wouldn't that be nice? But we're often not ready for instantaneous freedom. God needs to take us through a journey and a process. Somebody say process, towards freedom. So the Israelites, thank goodness you're not an Israelite, their process to get into the promised land, the place where all things came together for them, does anybody know how long it took them in that process? 40 stinking years. Now, some of you are in the midst of your process right now of moving towards freedom, and you're just discouraged, and you're like, come on, let's just get there. Well, let me just put some perspective on this. You ain't an Israelite. 10 years isn't as bad as 40. Or maybe better said, if it feels like your process isn't ending, hang in there, because God's not done. And he'll keep moving you through until the work he began is finished. So if it feels like it's never ending, this process, repeat after me, but just go, trust in the one who brings his people through process. So the process for the Israelites is about done as we pick up our story in the book of Numbers. I think we have it up on the screen for you to follow along. Moses and his people are right there. So here's what's going on. The people are thirsty. And they go to Moses and say, Moses, we're thirsty. Moses goes to God and says, God, we're in the desert. We need water for these people. And God says to Moses, this is Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. God says to Moses, take the staff. And you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak. Somebody say, speak.
Speak
to that rock. Before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. Now, isn't that crazy? The people are thirsty. I'm just interrupting my reading for a minute. The people are thirsty. There's a man who can be God's tool to meet the need, and God does something crazy. Let me just translate that to today. God still does crazy things to get his accomplishments done. Have you ever thought this is weird when God is leading you in a certain direction? Have you ever thought that? If it feels weird, it's probably from God. You know, I know of a young high school student who was leaving his home, headed to his friend's house to spend the night. And while he was headed out the door, this high school kid heard that still small voice of the Lord that we see throughout the scriptures speaking to God's people, spoke to this high school kid and said, get Dad a Diet Coke. Now, he wasn't talking about his own dad. He heard the still small voice reference his buddy's dad. Well, this is weird. How many of you have ever left your house and heard the still small voice of the Lord say, get that person a Diet Coke? Anybody? So this high school kid listened and said, okay. So he had his dad stop at the store. He went in with his own allowance and he bought a Diet Coke for his buddy's dad. He got to his buddy's house and he walked in and mildly sheepishly said, here's a Diet Coke for you. And the dad said, oh my goodness, I've wanted a Diet Coke today. thank you. Now, here's the deal. Did God need to speak that crazy way to just bless a guy with a Diet Coke? Did he? But God does weird things to bless his people. This is a weird one. The people are thirsty, and instead of bringing rain, God says, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. So let me just, this is all parenthetical. I haven't even gotten to the main message. This is extra and free for you. Maybe the Lord is leading you to do something a little strange that seems odd. Two words for you. Do it. Don't wait. Do it. Back to the text. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron, now Aaron was Moses' brother, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, he's a little upset because they were grumbling again, must we bring you water out of the rock? Then Moses raised his arm and he struck the, what did he do? Wait a minute. What did God tell him to do? And what did Moses do? All right. So he struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out. And the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. I wonder what's going on here in Numbers chapter 20. In a nutshell, the people are thirsty. God says, I'm going to provide. Speak to the rock. Moses gets to the rock with the people around, and he strikes it. How many times? And God says, you know what? I'm not going to let the people go thirsty because of your goofiness. I'm going to still provide for them. But because you struck the rock and didn't speak to the rock, you can't go into the promised land. You're going to die, and you'll be with me in glory, but you won't get to experience on earth the fullest of blessings that I have for you. That's clear as mud, isn't it? What is going on? I mean, could it be that God's just a little grumpy himself? I mean, come on. I mean, didn't Moses give God glory by striking the rock anyway? And didn't God still provide? I mean, why did God keep Moses and Aaron out of the promised land for striking instead of speaking? Maybe another passage will be helpful in shedding light on this. We're going to back it up just a little bit and go to the book of Exodus chapter 17. This took place before the Numbers 20 passage. The same people, the Israelites, the same need, they were thirsty, the same man, Moses, and the same God behind the man. He goes to the God and said, they're thirsty. And the Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff, there's that staff again, with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock. Somebody say, strike the rock. And the water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. So the first time, this was before the other time, the first time he struck the rock, as God said, and water came forth. So let's just be clear. It's the same group of people, the Israelites. It's the same need. They're thirsty. It's the same man, Moses, and it's the same God behind the man. The first time all of that took place, God said, strike the rock, and Moses struck the rock. The second time, what did God say? And what did Moses do? I'm wondering if Moses said to himself, you know, last time it worked really good when I struck the rock. So I'm going to hit it twice this time. What was good then must be good today, so let's hit it twice. And in so doing, this is the problem, Moses ignored the voice and the direction of the Lord. See, he rested, listen to this, this is the point, he rested on yesterday's laurels. Yesterday's victory became his purpose for tomorrow, when in reality, yesterday's victory is just that, yesterday's victory. Let me say that again to this side over here. Yesterday's victory is meant to simply be that, yesterday's victory. But the problem with Moses is he was living in yesterday's victory as if it was today's provision. Yesterday's victory wasn't meant to supply you today. It was meant to supply you yesterday because God wanted to do a new work in this day, but Moses didn't trust enough, and rather he sat back in the way he used to do things. And in sitting back and doing the way he used to do things, he missed out on a blessing here on earth. How many of y'all had a grandma? It's not a trick question. How many of y'all heard grandma lament the way it used to be? How many of y'all heard grandma or mom or somebody maybe a little older than you lament that at church these days they don't sing the hymns like we used to? Anybody hear that one? How many of you have heard the old person talk about the good old days? Remember the good old days? How many of you are the old person who talks about the good old days? How many of you are the person that laments that, man, what happened yesterday, those were the glory years? And how many of you, and let's be honest, instead of walking into the newness that God has today, instead of the newness of today, you sit back and admire yesterday and say, wow, remember when I struck the rock? Those were good days. What's this speak to the rock nonsense? Let's go back to the good old days when we struck the rock. See, there's something incredibly familiar about yesterday. There's something very Linus Blanket-like about the fruit from yesterday. There's something about the way things were done that kind of just embraces us like a lazy boy in front of the show. And this is exactly where Moses and Aaron went. They knew God was powerful, right? They watched him deliver the Israelites by confronting the most powerful man in the world and bringing an amazing signs, 10 of them, and separating the Red Sea. So they saw God do some amazing things. And yet when God spoke a new word to do a new thing in a similar yet new situation, instead of trusting the power of God, they trusted the power of yesterday. Now, everybody just, let's get your condescension look on. Cross your arms and shake your head at these stupid people. That's good. You got it down. Some of you are really good at condescending looks. Maybe you've had practice. I mean, these stupid Israelites, aren't you glad that you're not like them? In that you've seen God work and you've seen him do great things. Aren't you glad you're not like them who've seen God do great things and yet don't trust him for tomorrow and push back into yesterday? Some people. Shake your head and say, some people. Guess what I'm looking at? Some people. And guess what I'm looking at? Some people. I meant to actually say, guess what you're looking at? Some person. You see, Moses, get this. See, Moses' eternal salvation was set and fixed. He is dancing in glory right now. He's hanging out up in heaven, and we'll meet him someday when we get up there. This is not an eternal salvation issue. Rather, it's a temporal on-earth freedom and fruit type of thing. See, God had fruit and freedom for Moses that he wanted Moses to experience. Because remember, we established earlier and we were doing communion that God is for us? God wanted Moses to walk into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the Bible says. And VeggieTales says it sounds sticky. Anybody know VeggieTales? God had all of these things on earth for Moses, but Moses' disobedience to the voice of the Lord kept him from the richness of God's blessing here on earth. Now, sure, when he died, he went to heaven. That's not what we're talking about, but the reality of the kingdom of God that is revealed throughout the scriptures and the God behind all of scriptures, this Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is for God's people to experience freedom now. You see, the whole Christian faith isn't simply about what some would call fire insurance, protect you from hell when you die. If that's all your faith is about, your faith is very limited and weak. It's not just about that, although thank goodness what Jesus did on the cross gives us an eternity in glory if we follow and walk with Jesus. But that isn't the total of what it's about. See, what God is about your freedom, your fruitfulness, and your joy now. Not just when you die. And when we hear the voice of the Lord, when we see the direction we should go, when we have an understanding that this is what God wants, and when we go this way, we miss out on all kinds of blessings the Lord has for us here and now. So let me just be painfully obvious yet again. God has good things for you. The whole image of Santa Claus, that pales in comparison to the goodness God has for you. And yet if we don't walk in the ways the Lord shows us, it's like being a kid on Christmas, walking up to the tree with all the presents with your name on them and saying, nope, I'm going to go this way. And we remove ourselves from the blessings of the Lord's gifts. Now, I already have established that I'm looking at some people. You know what I'm not looking at? Let me just make sure this is a true statement. I usually like to believe what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not looking at anybody who's stupid. Maybe a couple, but most of you. Just kidding. I'm not looking at a bunch of dummies. You all are good people. You're smart people. You don't want to turn away from the presence under the tree. You don't want to remove yourselves from the blessings of the Lord. I'm looking at people who want the blessings of the Lord. And that includes people who have never heard about Jesus until today. There's something in you that longs for the goodness, that longs for the joy that only God can bring. And you didn't know that it was God who could bring it. I'm telling you, I'm looking at smart people. So Moses, he rested on his laurels. And he trusted the fruit of yesterday because he was scared to step out in a new thing today. And you know that type of thinking, you know, going about your faith journey, resting on what you did yesterday for tomorrow's direction, that type of faith thing is what has made the church rules and regulations. And it has removed all intimacy and personal connection with the King of Kings. You see, as we grow in our discipleship, as we move from seeds to roots to trees, God wants us to walk very closely with him. And he wants his people and his church to flourish and grow and to be about the freedom of others. But when we simply do what Moses did here and we use yesterday's fruit as today's guide without any connection with God whatsoever, we just do what worked yesterday today. If we just do what worked yesterday today, we become nothing more than modern day Pharisees who are going through the route and route of religion. But again, I'm not looking at dumb people. I'm looking at smart people who want the fullness of God's blessing. So I told you last week that in our first 10 years of existence, we were establishing what it is to be worshipers of the Lord, what it is to walk intimately with him, right? And for the first 10 years, we're going to be 12 in September. I've said this 5,291 times. I've counted, you know, I've had my hand in the air. And I said, everybody raise your right hand. You're going to do this right now. And I said, this represents you. So everybody say, hello, me. And then I put the left hand in there and say, this represents God. Say, hello, God. This is what it's about. Boom. No, don't smack your neighbor. Yeah. This is what it's about. And our first 10 years was laying a foundation where everybody knows that God came to this earth in the form of Jesus so that we might walk closely with him, not that we might remain distant from him, but that we might be like this. That's what it's about. It's about you and the King of Kings walking closely. I think there's a new era for the river a-coming. In this next decade, I think the Lord wants us to take this and get out into the community more than we've ever been. Man, we've made some major impact at Maple Street Middle School. Right? We've been a partner with them for years in our Hope Project, and they once were the bottom of all four Kalamazoo Public Middle Schools, and after our partnership and our praying for them and sending tutors and blessing the teachers and coaches and providing they are now the number one middle school in Kalamazoo. This is phenomenal. Yeah. But I think it's time for us to do that on a larger scale. We need to have more than one local ministry like that where we're impacting places and changing, where this becomes this, and we become God's agents of powerful change in the community. Right, years and years ago, we partnered with a village in Uganda, Odetel, right? The month before we got there, kids literally were dying of starvation. Well, we've been with them for years. We fed them millions of meals. That's not exactly true. It's an exaggeration. But around 200 kids get a meal every day and have for the past 6-7 years. They get clothing. They get discipleship. They get training. We've given microloans to business, and we've sent business people over to train them. We've sent a vet over, as I like to tell you, to help their goats have better goat sex because they need more goats, and because more goats equals more productivity for the people. I did say goat sex. It's one of my favorite phrases. And we've, with their help, they've changed us and given us a global sense, and we've been able to be God's tools to their for their freedom like Moses was. And that village is different, and they absolutely love the river. This is phenomenal. But it's not enough. That's good, but I think there's an error for more where we get out. We can't simply rest on the fruit and the victory of yesterday for tomorrow. There's got to be more. So last January of 2015, we began a work to partner similarly with a ministry down in Guatemala City in Guatemala, where we're helping train and equip teachers who minister to young children whose parents work in the dump during the day trying to find food or scraps to sell just to put a little food on the table. And slowly but surely, we're being like Moses, bringing positive change. And so these things have been phenomenal, and if you've ever been a part of them, just way to go. But I think God wants us to do more. Because of the 800 or so people who call this church their home, there might be 150 to 200 people who are invested, and I think the rest of you have been waiting for your time to be unleashed in the community to bring God's kingdom with you where you're at. And so here's what Moses tells us, we, friends. Somebody say, me. Yeah, me includes we. I'm talking to you. We can't simply rest on the victory of yesterday and look back at it and say, yeah, that worked really good. Because if we always do only what we did yesterday, we'll never do what God wants us to do tomorrow. And when we only do what God did yesterday, we're going to miss out on blessings today. And so there's more coming. And so last week I began to bring another shift here. How many millions of times have I said, if you got a pulse? And that's beautiful, because we've had to say, if you got a pulse, you got issues, because we want to be clear that this is a place for broken people to come, because there ain't no other kind of people. Right? Many places where I used to work, you know, we all could pretend that none of us had issues, and I'm like, that's dumb. I know I'm broken. I know y'all broken. Let's quit pretending we're not broken. Let's have a place where brokenness is open. At least that way God can work on it when we're not hiding and lying. If you got a pulse, but I wonder if there's a new era for us. And I wonder if you remember what it was from last week. If you got a pulse, you got a purpose. See, God wants to meet you in your brokenness and in your issues to set you free, not for the sake of just celebrating your issues, but for the fact that he has a purpose for your life. You see, there are thirsty people in your world that only God can bring quenching to that thirst. And you're the only person in their world that can introduce them to the one who supplies water from a rock. Thirsty people. If you got a pulse, you got a purpose. Let's not be like Moses and sit on yesterday.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.